TV, Olympics.
TV? Movie time getting a little self-indulgent.
It's hard enough to get extra time on the air.
Yeah, welcome back. It is CKLN a little late tonight, but we have a lot to talk about. It is 5:32. My name is Michael Dyer. Sitting across from me, as he has for the last 6-7 months now, I've lost track of time.
Many years, many years.
We've traveled many a long road to get here.
And as I said, we're going around the final turn, and it happened this week.
J.R. Bob Dallas, let's talk about this week and Black Monday, and was it similar to the 1929 crash, and what did you have to do with it, because I know you were involved.
That's right, Mike. The slack is poured out of me, because I nailed those beats, man. Did I nail them? It's a lot worse, a lot bigger than 1929.
Okay, stop boasting. How did you do it?
I sold short, Mike, but that was what my agents did. I toppled, like I did for Reagan's military and foreign policy. I upset that with Iran. Contragate, I laid down with some Japanese subgenius help. I nailed Reagan's economic policy. He now has to talk to Congress. All is a red herring for my moves closer to the Secret Council of 10 key chairman position. The point is, two guys on the Secret Council were knocked off. It's really kind of Secret Council of 8 now. Mm-hmm, and on the material level of mixed media front corporate cover, I made billions over the last 2 days. Billions, because I sold, my boy sold short, and this is amazing for the sub-genius around the world. We nailed it. It's Pink Monday. It was Pink Monday, not Black Monday.
Black Monday. The press had it all wrong.
Yes.
I should have known. I'm still a dupe, aren't I?
No, Mike, you say you have no involvement or implication or effect from this, but you do, because as you transform into sub-genius, you will reap the profits from this thing that happened this past 2 days. Anybody who gets involved with Bob while he's on the air now will be a wealthy, wealthy, wealthy in all dimensions, wealthy, wealthy, wealthy sub-genius in all ways. This is amazing. I told you it was going to happen this fall. And old Ramtha, you know what Ramtha did? Channels through Jay-Z Knight. He predicted earlier this year the crash would come in October. He's trying to hijack my credit. But let me tell you, you heard me live for the last 3 months mentioning we're going around the final turn. Now, to show the slack, because Bob Marshall was a walk-in. Remember, Bob Marshall worked at CKLM for 3 years, and I had occupied him. My voice occupied him, so he was a walk-in. To show you the slack I have, I can take so much sort of unattention to my immediate surroundings for about 5 minutes and let myself become possessed as a walk-in. I will now present myself as a walk-in. So we want to see only sub-geniuses can take me over. But let's see what sub-genius can explode through my aura at this amazing, rare occurrence in the history of matter.
Are you going into a trance again? Is this?
I'm
going
to go into a trance to allow myself to be possessed. Uh-huh. And we're going to have a sub-genius speak on the apparent, I can't really pick the topic, but I'm sure he's going to talk about this.
Well, this is unusual. I've never had a guest go into a trance on my show. Well, you have once on previously.
Oh, I've been in trance, yes, but I have not.
To have someone else speak to.
That's right, my own sub-genius. Bob Sold spoke through me, but to have another sub-genius speak from his own private central consciousness, his particular Bob Soul is unique. And that's what we're going to do today as a special treat because I have so much slack. I can let go of that much.
This is exciting. What can I do to help you?
Let's just be quiet. Let's just do it. Okay, a little bit of quiet and get ready for... Now, you'll hear an explosion, a kind of explosion as that entity bursts into my aura and starts speaking. And that explosion is the sign that they have tapped into my basic private citadel of emanation, okay?
Hi, Sherman Skolnick bringing you news killed by the Monopoly Press. Presented 24 hours a day by the Citizens Committee to clean up the courts, 9800 South Oglesby. In the current stock and bond calamity, Chinese hold many of the cards. For example, they gave the money back. The Federal Reserve, on the other hand, has refused the Japanese demand for transfer of ownership to them of Bank America. So the Japanese can use the same method they used in May 1984 against the Continental Bank in Chicago. starting rumors of an international run on Continental, which became an actual run. By the way, we were the first in the nation with accurate stories of the Continental problem. Now, some Japanese insiders apparently know about this and related matters, and so there are wholesale dumping of U.S. Treasury securities by them. Some in Japan own special issues of U.S. government securities backed by gold. Those are not being sold. It's the paper ones getting dumped, the ones backed by nothing. Another aspect of the current crisis is the Japanese are insisting that the U.S. go along with a pretended return to the gold standard, where the paper stuff is absolutely exchangeable into gold. Now, to meet this crisis, the U.S. Treasury is reviving their plan to come out with the new two-color paper money with a metal thread in it. So, if you're taking too much paper money out of the country, well, they'll catch you at the metal detector trap at the airport. To make the new money acceptable, the U.S. Treasury is planning to attach a gold gimmick, not the gold standard, sort of a pretended gold bullion hookup. You can see why the mass media liars have been so far holding back stories about Reagan and Bush. Should the president and vice president of the United States be removed for treason right in the midst of a financial crisis? Ronald Reagan won the 1980 election with a dirty deal with the Iranians, not to release the U.S. embassy hostages until after Reagan is successfully sworn in as the new president. Documented details show that George Bush went in October 1980 to Paris to arrange it all with the Ayatollah. Included were the weapons shipments. Independents working on the presidential vice president scandal contend these latest details show the worst case of treason in American history. But the question remains, will the bankers permit such a story to run in the midst of a financial crisis? Other details. Brokers in bonds have lost upwards of $10 billion in the collapse of the bond market. Some major bond houses are absolutely up against the wall. How will the Treasury succeed with new issues of U.S. Treasury notes and bonds if brokers resist? True, some brokers have been primary dealers in treasuries for 60 years or more. But will they help the Treasury now in a crisis by losing? Most banks have Treasury securities in the equity portfolio. In this bond collapse, many banks and S&Ls are actually insolvent. The deposit insurance funds were not designed for such a situation. Just another story suppressed by the liars and whores of the press, those with the $50 hairdos and the nickel heads.
What happened?
You went into a trance.
Who came through?
I didn't catch the name. I think it was Skolnick?
Oh, Sherman Skolnick came
Sherman
through?
Skolnick,
oh, my God. I haven't heard from him for years.
His name means nothing to me. Okay. Is he a member of the Subgenius, or is he...
Oh, he was a guy who worked for Bob Marshall. A couple years ago, he was a financial expert. Oh, he's a good friend of Mae Brussel, a heavy input for CKLN for several years. What? Oh, so Skolnick came through?
It was a good 5-6 minutes you were out.
Okay, let me just check this, what he said. I can check it in the Akashic Records just a second, and I can comment on it. So I can focus on Skolnick and I can get his psyche. Skolnick was working for my Japanese agents. That's what he's talking about. He was talking about Japan, I see. Ah, and he brought in the military policy that I taught with the Iran-Contra Gate and how that's in suspension right now because the banking crisis is more serious because that deal's closer to the Council of Eight. It's really the Council of Ten. I'm going to keep calling the Council of Ten. We know it's two people minus because it's musical chairs.
You can't be in the Council without that money. You know,
that's right. So that's very good. Okay, now look.
That was exhilarating. I enjoyed that very much.
He knew what he was talking about. You see, that's a subgenius. Skolnick commented on what I did in the intro, the military policy exposure of Contragate and the financial calamity. All right, so let's go to the subgenius church.
Okay.
We should go
Wait, you want to check that?
No, just, I wanted to. I wasn't sure what you wanted to talk anymore. Today's tape from the Church of the Subgenius is Repent, Quit Your Job, Slack Off.
Number 10.
This tape, Repent, Quit Your Job, and Slack Off. It's copyright 1984 by the Subgenius Foundation and the Subgenius participants.
And as we watch, my friend very suddenly and violently vomited.
A point pairs to end the tape there.
Yes.
Is that all right?
Yeah,
a few minutes left to wrap things up.
Pink laugh. Pink audience laughter. What do you want to know, Mike? Anything in particular, or do I go into some new broad principles?
I want to know everything, so maybe be as broad as possible.
Well, I think we should understand that Bob is a collective mantra. It's a way of being linguistic about language. In other words, I'm not talking to each individual private citadel of consciousness. That is already determined what you are, right? Now, the problem is we have collective environments surrounding us. These are of archetypal intensity. Now, how does one be archetypal in response to the archetypal environments? What language do you use to communicate? Well, the clue is to be a collective mantra. And B.O.B. is one of the collective mantras. In other words, we can all engage in that chant for Bob. Of Bob and with Bob without impinging on our own development. Is that a new principle to you?
Yes, it is. I'm listening to you talk, though, and when you get on a topic that really excites you, your voice drops.
Yes.
And you whisper and you sound like an obscene phone call.
Well, truth is obscene when we're talking truth. Lay low.
Oh, okay. Praise Bob.
Yeah, oh, my.
So, Bruce Rosensweet, a dupe of the radio station, was running around putting up the Visa stickers in
with
front of us.
With a serious mask.
We accept Visa.
We accept
That's
Visa?
That's what it said. We accept Visa. What does this mean to you, Bob, in the last 2 minutes?
Well, I think for about 10 minutes, Bruce had a mask. He was not being affected by the tape. Therefore, he was a pink. But all of a sudden, he cracked up. He started laughing, which implied that Bob's soul was leaking through. So I authorized the printing of these Visa things because he had the right attitude. He had the style. Up to that point, he kept shifting it around. He didn't know where to put it because he was, in other words, I wouldn't let him put it. Finally, when he stuck it up 2 minutes ago, he had transformed into a slight subgenius atmosphere. And that's why it's allowed. Now, the key thing is, this fundraising is going to be incredible because a lot of subgeniuses got bucks today, right? As a result of Pink Monday. And the thing is, if we keep me on the air, if the fundraising has slack, we will make a lot because the subgenius will be donating.
So maybe we should tell people not to send money in, as they often do at 6 o'clock.
Did you see the light going? Yeah, they were pledging you the last 15 minutes while the tape was on.
Just put your wallets away, put your checkbooks away. We do accept Visa, and of course, next week is fundraising.
Let's mime the crash of Pink Monday, and let's zoom up on next Wednesday. Let's hit the bulletin board top, or whatever apparatus the pinks use to register this kind of monetary
value. A subgenius thermometer.
Yeah, that's the part. Make it go off on Wednesday.
Well, good, good.
Show the fact that I do have a powerful world empire. Let's prove it next Wednesday, subgenii.
We still have 2 minutes.
Oh, okay, good. Back to church dogma then, as I was saying about the mantra.
Let's talk a bit about your trance, because I felt something while you were in a trance. I just sat idly by while the voice transmuted itself across the airwaves. Talk a bit about this Skolnick fellow and where he came from.
Skolnick was born in the 30s. He's in a wheelchair. As a young boy, he identified with Mr. Roosevelt, President Roosevelt. Roosevelt even sent him a letter as a fellow wheelchair occupant. He came from quite a wealthy tailor's family, furrier family. In the early 60s, the Binks got a hold of his parents' business and were weaseling around a deal that Sherman, as a kid, was wondering about it. Well, he wasn't a kid. Well, he was 30s, in his 30s then, right? Okay, so he's in the office talking to the lawyer about the thing. A judge walks in. The judge says, we got another case here. I got to do this. I got to do that. What do you do? Make a deal. Blah, 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 blah. The point is, he saw corruption right in front of him. That was in 63. So he realized, hey, you see, his subgenius self had so much slack that he didn't know there were problems on a certain level. so. He'd investigated for about 5 years. He had 10,000 law books. He had them stacked up in his parents' attic. Almost caved in the roof. This is fact. I got it on tape. I know this. The thing is, by late 60s, he became a public figure in the Chicago area, much like Mae Brussel in California, on talk shows. He started exposing this and that. But then when he started to expose the FBI infiltration of the media, he was knocked off. He was not allowed on the media anymore, so he started his own phone service. And you can call these numbers, 312-731-1100, area code 312-731-1100, and you could hear Skolnick's daily news messages going around, the pink apparatus, the big brother, big sister reality, you know, that he could bypass by electric decentralization. You phone in, the message is on because someone else is contacting. The computer knows that you are waiting, so it'll start the message again, and you get it for a dollar after you call after midnight. So Skolnick has been active since 71 on this sort of telephone radio merging. It's a private broadcasting situation you get access to by the phone anywhere in the world, a true discarded use of modern electric circuitry. And so Skolnick has been operating behind the scenes. He was even hired, and this is fact, he was hired by Lyndon LaRouche to investigate the LaRouche organization. Now imagine that, and that's true. I'd love to play this stuff live in another show, play my tapes, my phone conversations with Skolnick, but I think it would violate.
We're not here for that. We're here for the subject.
Not now. I mean, other times. Sure. Give me more time.
Another dimension,
another
maybe, but not right now.
Yeah, put me on Sunday night. Oh, that's. If we get a lot of money, if we go over $100,000, I demand another hour, okay? And Mike, you're coming with me and all your family and loved ones.
I'll be held responsible. Next Wednesday is Pink Monday.
No, it's not. What are you doing?
Next Wednesday is Pink Monday.
Next Wednesday,
we are recreating Pink Monday.
Oh, in that sense, it's not going to be Pink Monday. It's going to be Subgenia Wednesday.
Okay.
We're going to be the mirror image of Pink Monday. Not recreating. We're going to mirror it. Okay?
Fundraising. Thank you.
And fund will be raised.
Chair Bob Dobbs, the Church of the Subgenius. My name is Mike. Stay tuned for Tom Given.
Downtown tonight for Wednesday, October the 21st.